Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Asking for a Friend podcast. It's an elder-led ministry of Believers Baptist Church in Emory, Texas. My name is Duffy Henderson, and I'll be your host. The Asking for a Friend podcast exists as a weekly resource for the edification and the benefit of God's people. Here we hope to provide helpful, thoughtful, and most importantly, biblical material as we address everyday life questions and issues. So, if you find this podcast helpful, please take a few moments to share it with someone that you think would also benefit from it. Thank you for listening in today, and may the Lord bless this episode in particular greatly to you as a means of grace for your spiritual growth and your benefit. Well, today I am joined by Cole Middleton and David Brindle, and we have a special episode for us today. This is another episode in our new members series, and we are talking about the role and function of deacons within the life of the church. We've recently done a couple of episodes, I think if I remember right, on elders, and we've had several other episodes on baptism, Lord's Supper, and several other distinctives for our church in order to be a helpful resource for new members to our church. So before we get going with this, guys, welcome to the podcast.
It's good to be here. Yep.
Very good. It's good to have you guys. Whenever I was thinking about who we would have on this episode, I know you guys would have a lot of good things to say and just helpful as we talk through what a deacon is, how they function within the life of the church, where we find the biblical precedent for deacons, and those are important conversations to have. So we are going to be using our Believers Baptist Church distinctive page. It can be found on the church website. It's easily found. Just go on our website. So if you'd like to actually look at that as you're listening to the episode, if you want to pull that up, print it out, that might be helpful for you as we talk about things. But before we get going, guys, how's your week? This is a Wednesday morning. Cole, how's your week been going so far?
Well,
as we're jumping in?
It's been going okay. It's cloudy. I'm looking for the sun to come back out. Right in the middle of a silage harvest right now, so I really need sunshine because I need to get across fields. But thankful for the rain that we've had because the harvest is good. So.
And I'm thankful today that I'm thankful for the clouds because it allowed you to be here with us today.
I am here. So
I'm selfishly thankful for that.
It was good
but
timing
I know it's not
on
good
that.
For you.
The clouds are, by God's providence, good timing. Yep.
I'm messing with you. How are you, David? What's
I'm
going on with
well.
You?
I'm doing well. Life is good.
Yeah.
Being retired is good. It gives me the opportunities to do a lot of things that I didn't normally get to do when I was working.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Well, guys, we're here to talk about deacons, and you two are two of our deacons. How many do we have here now? Do we have four? Okay, I was thinking five. And our others are Mike German and
Al Shipp.
Yeah, and you guys have been such a blessing. I know you are newer deacons to our church body.
Right.
Mike and Al have been around a little bit longer here. But recently, we have had, when you guys were brought on, we were I know Jason, who was going to join us today, he had some other things come up. He wasn't able to. But you guys went through recently a book, a little small purple, I guess that is purple, book called Deacons from the Nine Marks Building Healthy Churches series, which is a really great little resource. And as you guys were brought into the life of our church as deacons, this was one of the books that y'all talked through and just gave you good things to consider. So we want to discuss a few of those, a few points of the book. But before we do that, we want to talk through our distinctive page. So Cole, we're going to start with you this morning as we get our conversation going. We want to, first of all, go to the biblical text, the precedent from the scriptures that we have for deacons. So where do we find a text on deacons?
Well, the office of deacon is given to us in 1 Timothy chapter 3, right after the office of elders is given. Verse 8 picks up in chapter 3 of the qualifications of deacons. We see where deacons are instituted as an office of the church. Now, the word there is used throughout the New Testament to serve in a broad sense, but this is where we see really the office and the qualifications of it given.
Yeah, and that the concept for deacon really applies to all Christians within the life of the church in a general sense, right?
That's right. If you're serving if you're a believer and should be serving, you should be serving. You're not a spectator, right? That's None right. of us mm-hmm. are spectators.
There's an implicit action involved in that.
For all
you're
of
doing
us.
Something. That's right. You are actively looking for ways to serve the church. David, did you have something there?
Yeah, pretty much everybody that's a member of the church is really a deacon.
Yeah, there is a sense in yes. which that's true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, take us through these qualifications. We'll kind of use this as our base point today.
Okay. I'll just read from the text, and this will be 1 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 8, and we'll go through verse 13. Deacons, likewise, must be men of dignity, not double-tongued or addicted to much wine or fond of sordid gain, but holding to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. These men must also first be tested. Then let them serve as deacons if they are beyond reproach. Women must likewise be dignified, not malicious gossips, but temperate, faithful in all things. Deacons must be husbands of only one wife and good managers of their children and their households. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves, and I love this, a high standing and a great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. Your reward is a great confidence in your faith in
Amen.
Christ.
Yes. Important words there for sure. So, obviously, we're going to unpack this as we talk through this episode today. But as you can see, the New Testament speaks very highly of deacons and what this office is. It's an important role in the life of the church. And hopefully what we can do today is to draw the line and distinguish the role or the office of deacons from the role and office of elders within the life of the church and really talk about how these two mechanisms work hand in hand with to create a healthy church environment for the people to serve within. When the deacons of a church and the elders of the church are not functioning well together, that creates issues with unity, with being able to accomplish the mission of the church. So these things really are important. I do want to, I think we were talking beforehand, right before we recorded, that if you look and kind of compare the two lists that we have in 1 Timothy 3, the qualifications for overseers or elders and deacons are very similar.
Right.
Very similar. Yeah. So what are some differences, David, between these two
Well,
offices?
For one thing, your elder should be able to teach, whereas that's not a qualification for a deacon.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, to me, that's the big one, mm-hmm. is the being able to teach and preach.
I agree with that too. That is the big difference in the text. The other one is that deacons can't be fond of sordid gain, and that's not really mentioned in qualifications for the elders. Because the deacons are going to handle finances of the church.
Right.
They're going to be responsible for all sorts of logistical issues involving money and benevolence funds.
A predisposed toward a greedy mentality is
right.
really not, that's not a good quality for a deacon, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
For very practical reasons, as you just said.
Yeah.
Because the temptation makes perfect sense.
The temptation will be there to, or the opportunity will be there to, mm-hmm. you know, really take advantage of the church, if you had a heart like that. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah. So our church distinctive has a couple of paragraphs that are very helpful talking through this. It mentions Acts chapter 6, which is another crucial text. I think that's where we really see the beginning of the office of deacon in the church, and then Paul lays it out. here in 1 Timothy, pardon me, there's specifics given, but Acts 6 is another crucial place if you want to read that, read in that portion of Scripture.
In Acts 6, there's debate as to whether those men actually held the office of deacon, but regardless of whether they did or they didn't, I think what we see there is the institution starting to form, because mm-hmm. there is widows within that congregation that are not being served like they should be.
That's right.
The elders say that they don't have the time, essentially, to wait tables.
Yes.
In an analogy type of way.
Yes.
It's going to pull them from the study and devotion to the Word, and so they really need someone, mm-hmm. to come along and help them tend to the congregation
right.
and the logistical needs. And so,
yeah, I think Acts 6 is that the seed form of that,
right.
that office, the infancy of that. Hey, there's a separation between the spiritual oversight and the practical oversight
right.
of the church, kind of beginning in Acts 6.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see it really full formed here to the in the pastoral epistles here. So that's really good. Y'all have any other thoughts about the qualifications? I think it's pretty clear as you're reading through that what is to be expected. Now, I do think it's helpful to notice as well that all of the qualifications for deacons, you would want all of the men of the church to meet these requirements, right?
Oh, absolutely.
You would want all of the men of the church to be essentially above reproach, not greedy for dishonest
sure.
gain.
Mm-hmm. These are just characteristics of a Christian.
That's right.
Right.
I mean, there is a sense in which all Christians, mm-hmm. and of course including women as well, but so I do want to kind of demystify in the sense that the Lord could essentially call any man to the office of deacon within the life of the church.
Sure.
And that I think that more men ought to aspire at least to even consider that. If you're a Christian man within the life of a local church, be open to that. Live your life in a holy manner, worthy of the calling to which you've been called. And you never know, but I just wanted to kind of bring that out too, that there's not like this super Christian man that's being elevated as a deacon. Mm-hmm. No, this is just what a sound Christian man ought to be.
Mm-hmm.
You and me and he and everyone else. And then the Lord calls some out of the congregation to be deacons. So for what that's worth.
Right. When I was a child, I was probably 13 to 14, but we had several deacons in the church I attended at the time, and just one of them was a really super guy in my sight, and he was one of the deacons. And I thought, you know, I'd like to be what he is when I grow up and I'm in the church. And this gentleman, his name was O.C. Shiles, he just kind of made me think, I'd like to be a deacon. If I could ever get to be a deacon, I want to be a deacon like he is.
What a testimony.
Or he was. So, I mean, people look up to you when you're a small child in a church. If you're a deacon or you're an elder or something, there's a little kid out there somewhere saying, look, I want to be just like him.
That's a great thank you for saying that. It's a good testimony for him. And look where you are now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So there very well may be, and we've got plenty of little rascals around here.
Yes,
right?
We do.
So that really makes you guys, especially who are in the office of deacon right now, to really think about that from that perspective. That's good. I would hope that one of my boys would see one of you guys and think, man, that Mr. David, I want to be just like him when I get older. And really what they're seeing is not so much he's a deacon, but he's a godly man.
Right. Right.
That's what my heart's desire is.
Mm-hmm.
So
they should see that we are leading in service, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. We're on the front lines of the service battlefield.
That's right. I think the purple book here by Matt Smethurst, I think he says something, if I remember reading, that deacons lead by serving, and the elders serve by leading.
Right.
And when those two are working in harmony with one another, it's a beautiful thing.
Right.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Yeah. One other thing, as per our distinctives on our website, is really the first sentence of the difference between elders and deacons. But it's essential to recognize that deacons are equally qualified with elders in terms of character and spiritual life. The differences and then are listed in their ability to teach.
That's right.
With regard to the elders.
Yeah, and I think that you had mentioned earlier, too, that it doesn't mean that a deacon can't teach.
No.
I think that's actually important, that a deacon could absolutely fill a role as a Sunday school teacher, in a youth group situation. I mean, there's so many various places that a deacon could be serving the church in that way.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Go ahead, one second. But let me finish this thought. But the primary role that separates the elder is the ministry of the word,
right,
for the elder. That there's not just teaching, but the delivering of the word each week. And so that looks differently with if you have two elders or five elders. You know, those are differences there. But anyway, sorry, I cut you off.
No, I was just going to say that these men need to, it says, hold to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience.
Yes.
They need to be mature believers.
Absolutely.
So they should be able to teach if they needed to.
Yes.
Perhaps on a short-term basis, maybe the elder for a Sunday school class is absent. I mean, I've had that happen in my own Sunday school class and been asked to serve the class by teaching the class that Sunday morning. So that's just an example of we're not called to teach per se as our primary responsibility, but we can definitely serve the congregation by teaching.
The deacon ought not be an infant in the faith.
Sure.
Right.
The deacon needs to have some years under his belt as a Christian.
Right.
Yeah, no, that's a great point, actually. And the same thing for elders. I think there's another place. I can't remember exactly, but, you know, don't be too quick to lay hands on, to ordain someone. They need to be seasoned in one
right.
sense.
Tested, I mean.
Tested,
yeah.
And that's a great point there. Is, mm-hmm. It even says it right there. They need to go through a period of testing.
Yeah, that's verse 10.
Mm-hmm. To see if the man's speech matches his life, right?
Right. Right, and so, then let them serve as
and
deacons.
Then,
if there's uh-huh. a, pre- I mean, there's
it's not a guarantee.
If. Yeah,
right.
That's if they are beyond reproach.
That is. Yep.
That does not mean perfection.
Right.
I mean, we're, you know, by no means, none
that's,
of us
that's
are perfect.
True. That's true. But there is that stand, like what you said, David. With the what was his name? The deacon.
O.C. Shouse.
There's an obvious that this man is. He is godly. There's an evidence about this the life of the man that he is just living in the best of his ability in the spirit a godly life.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And stands out a little bit from other Christian men. And those are the men, not that they're super Christians, but there is an evidence in their life that they're pursuing Christ.
Right.
So
this should spill over into other areas of their life as given in this text, their families,
yes,
their,
amen.
Their children. Their children should be, you know, managed well, right?
Yes.
I mean, their children should not be wild heathens that are like, where's the father figure in these mm-hmm. children's lives? They're mm-hmm. running around acting all kinds of crazy, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
And they all can do that at times. I'm not saying that my children are perfect now.
Oh, man. Yeah. We're both smack in the middle of crazy right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
But the overall trend line, not one
Absolutely.
Instance, the
that's
overall
right.
trend line
that's right.
should
no,
should
that's,
incorporate these qualities.
Yes, mm-hmm. you're right, you're right, yeah. There should be, and there too is a similarity between the office of elder and deacon. In that way, the home should be well-managed in
right.
both instances.
Right. Your home is who you are in private.
That's right.
Right.
And that's really who you are. Right. When you're by yourself, when you're with your wife and your children alone in your house, that's really the man that you are. You know, I think it was Dale Moody who made the quote, if you don't love your wife and don't treat her in a loving manner, I don't want to hear about your Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a powerful, that's always stuck with me.
Mm-hmm.
Because the first...
A lot of truth in that.
A lot of truth in that, yeah. I really don't want to hear any sort of... teaching from you if you're not loving your wife.
Yep.
You know.
Well, very good. Okay, guys. So we've talked about the qualifications of deacons from the text, and we've talked a little bit about the difference between elders and deacons. And so let's talk some practical things. Especially at believers here, and we can kind of open the floor a little bit. But and you guys have been how long have you guys been installed as deacons now? Has it been 2 years yet? Year and a half?
Something like that, about a year and a half.
If it's not two, it's close to two,
it's
I think.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Probably close to two. Yeah.
So you guys are relatively new, but you guys have been in church all of your life. You've seen you've seen godly deacons, both of you, I'm sure.
Right.
You've seen it modeled before you, something you might aspire to be. And you've also seen not godly deaconry.
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
I want to be careful with that. Not that they're not godly, but you've seen it good and bad,
mm-hmm.
As many of us have. But especially within the life of the church, week to week, month to month, year to year. Cole, you alluded to this. Some of the administrative, practical matters of the church life, the deacons are to be involved with. in order to free the elders to do their spiritual oversight and their shepherding.
Right.
And I think that's a crucial word too, that the elders have a shepherding role and the deacons have, I don't know what you would contrast that with, but a deacon is not necessarily in an official sense a shepherd, but they are doing, they're
We're
helping
servant.
The shepherd. You're serving the shepherds so that the shepherd can do what they need to do.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If the shepherd is having to worry about the deacon's work, then they're not able to shepherd adequately.
Right.
And if the deacons are trying to shepherd, then they're not, you know, so these things are really, it's a dance, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So let's talk a little bit. Let's open the floor just a little bit. We're at the 20-minute mark. Let's finish out our episode with what is it like to serve here at Believers? What's a joy of being a deacon here? And how God has been using you both? I'll just open it up.
Well, as far as I go, we've taken on more and more things. So I like being a part of the camaraderie that you have as a deacon. Like, we get together and we discuss, like, the parking lot. We got together and said, well, we need to do this. It seemed like Cole knew everybody in town. Well, I got a guy who can do that, or I got a guy who does this. You know, I think, man, how does this guy know so many people?
Live here all your life. You're related to half of them.
Yeah,
you know?
I guess. That always helps, I guess. But
you had to, I had to marry outside of town because, you know.
Outside of the county line.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Just to be on the safe side.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, man. But, yeah, that's the beauty of that, too. That is the beauty of both the team of deacons, but also the team of elders. We talked about that, too, is having the variety within the group, that there's a kind of a mutual, hey, this is a Cole, this is all in Cole's wheelhouse. Let's mm-hmm. let's go to him with some wisdom. I'm sure he can help us think through this, but he may not be good with another situation, whereas like an Al Ship
right.
or Mike would be, this is his wheelhouse, and you guys can kind of be like, okay, he can take the lead here. What do you suggest? How do you, and that's a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can be. And right. with the elder team as well, I've mm-hmm. had the privilege of sitting in many elder meetings here, and it is a beautiful thing to watch where there are strengths, where someone across the table says, hey, let's rethink this. And someone else says, you know, I hadn't thought of that yet, so let's bring that back later on. All of these things, it's a really good thing to think
mm-hmm.
through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because pretty much everything we've done is – there's always seemed to be an overlap.
Yeah.
Of you know, he's got these skills, and you see a little bit in one of the other deacons, and you see the same thing in one of the other deacons.
That's right.
And it's just an overlap of abilities, and between the four of us, we seem to come to a conclusion, which is a good finish for what it is that
yeah,
we're trying
to accomplish.
You're
able to work together and come to a conclusion right. and move forward
mm-hmm.
with something.
Just like our two classrooms back there and the parking lot. It's going to be a little tougher on the church. I'm not even sure any of us deacons will be around when that starts. maybe Cole's going to be a deacon.
Yeah,
he can take over there.
Yeah, we've joked that the new sanctuary plans that we have, it may be a while before we institute them. So probably be a whole new batch of deacons.
Well, you guys can lay the groundwork literally
right, exactly.
and figuratively there.
Exactly.
Maybe. You guys can get things moving and rolling.
Mm-hmm.
The plural aspect of it, and we see the offices of the church in Philippians chapter 1 also, and the apostle Paul's says, greetings to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers, that's plural, and deacons, plural. And so I agree with David, the plurality of elders and deacons is a great thing when it's working
good.
Like it should, and thankful for God's grace that in this church that both offices, and especially the elders, have adhered to the word and carry out the instructions, practically speaking, to lead and serve the congregation. It's a great thing.
Let me ask you guys this question. As a new member or someone who's considering membership here, what can, as a church member, what can they expect of our deacons here at Believers? What can they expect them to see them doing? You know, just in general, what's the role of deacons here at Believers? You've already talked about some building projects, which right now that's right now what's a big need of the church is expanding and doing some. We're outgrowing our britches a little
exactly,
bit right
yes.
now,
uh-huh.
So we need some help in those areas. But what else can a new member expect from the deacon team here?
Well, I think that they should expect to be served by the deacons, and what that service is going to look like is us assisting the elders with their leadership. And so a couple of examples, the ordinances of the church, say baptism and Lord's Supper, for instance. We are commanded to baptize believers in Scripture. The elders see it as an ordinance that needs to be done by the church, and they tell the deacons, we need new believers. We need a way to baptize them. Okay, the deacons take that, and we practically go and figure out, okay, how are we going to baptize new believers? Are we going to build a new baptistry? Are we going to buy a portable baptistry and put in like we've done here or in the process of doing? Are we going to baptize them outside in a water trough? And essentially the deacons, by their calling from the church, have the authority to say, okay, here's how we're going to baptize the members. We know they need to be baptized. Here's how we're going to baptize them. And in submission, the deacon submitting to the elders in that, yes, we definitely see the spiritual need of baptism, and the elders submitting to the deacons in, okay, practically, here's how you guys have gone about doing this. It works beautifully. Members are baptized, and it's a great thing.
So, yeah, so you even drew a distinction there I think that's helpful, is that the elders are really overseeing the spiritual side of that believer, that one who's made they're evaluating that profession of faith. They're digging into their testimony, and they're making sure that this is going to be a valid baptism.
Right.
And then the deacons are coming alongside the elders and making sure that baptism happens and gets that whole, so it's like two halves that come together.
Right.
I think that's
right.
An important thing. David, do you have any thoughts with that?
Yeah, we see the practical side of things, so to speak. And say, well, this is what we need to do, and these are the steps that we need to do in order to get like a baptistry. And there again, we were able to get a baptistry, a little step above a horse trough, so to speak.
I'd say it's a couple steps.
It's
pretty
a couple
nice.
Steps.
It's got warm. We'll have warm water
in
it.
Warm water in it.
A horse trough,
and it looks good.
And it looks
does
good.
Look
yes.
It looks really
mm-hmm.
nice. So it's yeah. well built,
framed.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. it's nice.
Yeah. yeah. So, and you guys did a good job picking that out, and it's here, and
right.
I'm excited for our next baptism.
Right.
Our baptistry
looking
service.
Forward to it, as a matter of fact.
So,
here's an example of when the elders don't necessarily see a need, but the deacons see a need. So, we need parking, right? We can see, as could everybody else that was coming, that the parking lot is full. We're having to park beside the building on private property that the Sisters are gracious enough to let us park on.
Yes.
But we have a parking need. We need a parking lot, okay? The deacons essentially can identify that need and start the process of getting that done.
Proactively. On the deacon side.
Right. You have the authority to start getting that done. Not necessarily that we have the authority to make the vote to spend the money, but we can present it to the congregation as, here's really what we need. You know, it's a congregational decision ultimately, but we're leading.
You're taking the lead on
that. We're taking the lead, right.
And saying, hey, we've identified an issue here. Many of you probably already know that there's an issue. We want to address that. How,
right.
you know, here are two options. We can go this route or this route. What do you guys think?
Right.
We'll make it happen. We
right.
really need to address this.
Right. And the whole time behind the scenes, your elders are still studying the word. They're not out there worrying about, man, we need parking. What am I going to, you know, I need to call the congregate guy. No, you don't. You need to let the deacon, let us do that. And I'm not saying that happened. Yeah. I'm just saying that's
so good, though.
Frees your elders
yes.
up to shepherd the souls of the flock.
That's right. The elders are tasked with the ministry of the word and prayer.
Right.
And the deacons are essentially there to free them to do that.
That's right. Yeah.
That's where the end of the road, or the end of the day, that's what, and that's the beauty of your office, you two guys, as well as our other two. And Lord willing, the Lord will raise up other deacons here. I mean, we're growing. We need, I'm sure you guys would agree, we need more deacons,
sure,
not less.
Sure.
It would be helpful and beneficial to the church as a whole.
Sure.
We run anywhere from 160 to 180 on a Sunday morning here, and there's four of you guys. So by God's grace, he will, I hope that, I will pray that there will more men will be called into that office here. It can only benefit the church.
Right.
So, do you guys have any other closing comments? I know we have this purple book that, I don't know if we have it in our faith at home, but our deacons have read through this. You guys want to bring any, Cole, you've got your book open.
I was just going to say real quickly in the book, and this is a great resource for anyone, congregation, just members. This is great to go through and read and see, you know, what the role of deacons are and how we should serve you, you know. And perhaps sometimes, listener, if you're listening and you don't go to our church, maybe how you should not be served by deacons. On page 90, there's a list of, just real quickly going through there, of some of the church's, the deacons in the church's tasks. Seeing the sick, and so they can receive spiritual and physical comfort, leading the hospitality ministries of the church, attending the normal care and maintenance of church properties, receiving, holding, and disbursing a fund for benevolence. And these may vary from church to church, practically speaking, but these are kind of some of the, you know, the main points. Attending the accommodations for public worship, assisting in distributing the elements during the Lord's Supper, serving in other specific capacities as the church has needs.
Yeah, that's a great little list there. And I think he, on this next page, I came across this article at some point a while back, but deacons as shock absorbers and servants. I think that is a great title.
Yes.
To help, because what you're talking about is on a Tuesday morning, the elders should not have to be worried about calling a concrete guy or, you know, there or if a tragedy happens within the life of the church. Yes, of course, the pastors and elders need to be aware of that, but the deacons can also be there, kind of at a front line sense of helping to be a buffer between the congregation and the pastors. The deacons can come in and say, what needs to be done?
Right.
What can we do?
Right.
Can we do anything? And then, of course, the elders can get involved with that or however that works. But I think that's a beautiful picture. Shock absorbers, but also servants.
Yeah. Unifying shock absorbers,
absolutely.
Right? Our goal is to help unify.
That's
why we can't be double-tongued,
right?
That's one of the qualifications is not to be double-tongued because really you need to shock absorb the things between the congregation and the elders. I'm not saying that there's, you know, all sorts of waves that has to be absorbed, but deacons are called to unity, you know, and unifying the body, and as Scripture tells us to be unified, you know.
David, do you have any closing thoughts here?
A couple of things that I read in the book that really stood out to me was one that is being a faithful deacon. Your fingerprint should be seen throughout the church and the congregation. You know, if you see something that needs to be done, just do it. And
that's a good word.
Exactly. And another thing that I thought was that deacons should model their service after Jesus.
Mm.
You know, he was humble, and he did things that you wouldn't think a king would do.
Right.
And we should do the same things as he does.
That's good.
And as a closing for me, Philippians 2:3-4 says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but to the interest of others. And that's exactly what a deacon should do.
Wow, that's good. I think that's a good place to end. What do you guys say? Thank you all for coming on the podcast, by the way.
Well, thank you for having us.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, it was a good conversation. Hopefully it's helpful.
I would like to add one thing quickly.
Sure, go ahead.
If you are not a member of our church, and in your church body that you're a member of, the deacons within your church function as a board that keeps the pastor in check as the CEO, that you need to reevaluate the role of deacons there. We're not a some sort of board of deacons that are in place to, you know, control the pastor, or and that's kind of been the model used in our quote tribe of Southern Baptist life, you know. But I think you need to reevaluate that as a church if that's the model used. And I would agree with David that Christ is the ultimate deacon, the ultimate Greek diakonos.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
He's the ultimate servant.
I came
servant.
To serve.
Yes. He came to serve.
Yes. And I think for the person that might be thinking through this that Cole just addressed, that may be a part of a church that after you've heard this episode, you're thinking, I don't know that our deacons at our church are operating in this way, or this book that we've mentioned, Deacons by Matt Smethurst from the Nine Marks Building Healthy Churches series, that book will be a great resource for you to get to read through to evaluate for yourself as a Christian in another church. And maybe you read it with a friend.
Sure.
Read it with someone else, and you can think about that better. That would be a great resource for you. Well, we'll wrap that up for today. Thank you guys again for being a part of this conversation. Hopefully it's helpful. And for you, listener, that's it for today's episode. Thank you once again for taking the time to listen to the Asking for a Friend podcast. We sure hope it's been a blessing to you. Before you go, don't forget to like and share the podcast if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, however you listen to podcasts. There's a way that you can like those episodes, and that actually helps to boost the episode for someone else to find it. You can share it through social media, however you do that. Please pass it along. And don't forget one final thing is you can submit us a question to address on a future episode. If this episode has sparked a question in your mind and you'd like for us to explore it even further, reach out to us and we will consider it in a future episode. But as usual, until next time, grace and peace be with you all.